We finished last week the series on our belief statements, that series we did for quite a while, A Belief as Big as Life, and we're going to be starting a new series in a couple of weeks, but here for the summer we've got just a little bit of time to do a couple of weeks of things that just maybe God lays on our heart. And the one I want to share today is one that I first was kind of challenged to do by another pastor. His name is John Ortberg. He's pastor of Menlo Park Presbyterian Church out in California, and he's a writer and a speaker, a conference speaker. And I heard him talking one time about blessings and just what it meant to be blessed and to bless others. And it really just challenged my thinking, and I thought a lot about this idea of a blessing. And to begin that, I'd like to share with you a little clip that I heard in the secular world this week. There was a radio program, and the radio program has the habit of at the end of the week, on the last show of the week, they have their listeners actually call in or send in voice clips of something called the best part of my week. And then they compile those and they share those. And it's just one of those things that really I find so encouraging. It's like, wow. You know, and they talk about the blessings in human terms that they have received, things that have mattered to them. And I'd like to play that for you just to kind of set the tone. And as I do, I want to ask you this question. What was the best part of your week? If you were right now pulled up here on stage and against your, you know, better judgment and with all the fear that that entails, you know, you were to say to everybody, the best part of my week was, what would it be? Now, I'll tell you before we hear the clip that, of course, this comes from an international, actually, radio broadcast, and so they get to select out of the thousands of entries some of the better ones. So, yeah, these are really good weeks for these people, probably a little more dramatic than most of us face in the average week, but still, it just reminds us to stop and look at the good things in our lives. And what I really want you to do is just sense how you respond as you hear people share the blessings of their life. That is amazing, isn't it? How do you respond when you hear that? Well, I hope it's not that hard, you know. You know, so, by the way, I need to tell you that 2 weeks ago there was a visitor, a visiting family in the congregation. We had a chance to talk with them, and afterwards, the lady of the family came up to me and she said, you know, Pastor, there were a couple times when I really felt like I wanted to say amen, but I looked around and I wasn't sure I was allowed to. So I'm right now going to give everybody permission. You're allowed to speak. You're allowed to say amen. We can do that. You're allowed to talk back. But I don't know. When I heard that the first time, I just was like, wow, that's just encouraging. I mean, somebody, you know, their citizenship and, you know, the person who got my left kidney. Now, I realize that's not everybody's week. But wow, what a thing to be encouraged by. And I found myself, after listening to the blessings that came into their lives, the good things that came into their lives, I found myself kind of looking around at my life and going, I've got good things happening too. I've got good things happening, you know, every day. For me, since some of you know that Wendy is out helping with her parents for this month and I'm alone, I'm just very, very thankful. The best part of my week was I fed myself and I got, you know, but no, it's not quite that bad. You know, I've said many times, as long as Jif keeps making peanut butter, I won't starve. But other than that, I don't even eat peanut butter that much. It's kind of fun. But we do have blessings in our lives all of the time. And I think it's important that we as Christians stop and take note of those blessings and understand the great God we serve, and maybe recognize that sharing our blessings is something that other people actually want to hear. It can be an encouragement to them. Just like listening to these people share the things that happened in their life that were good. You heard the host of the show say at the beginning, we encourage people to brag. Well, I didn't hear anybody bragging. I heard people saying, I'm thankful. Look at this. This is great. You know, what a neat opportunity. I get to do this. How cool is that? I heard those things in their words and in their stories, and I found them encouraging to me. And I think that we as believers sometimes forget that one of the greatest things we can do as witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ is just share with people, look how I've been blessed. Look at the things that have happened. Look at the things that God has done in my life. So I'd like to take just a minute and maybe ask that question. What's the best blessing in my life? And how does God bless? What do we really know and understand about God's blessing? And that's probably important because if I don't know what I'm expecting from God, I may not really see it when it comes. I may misinterpret the blessing he's given. I may even think that it's not his blessing, it's like my doing that. I made that happen. I caused that. And that can get to be a challenge because we really understand that as people, we start with God. And God is really the source of all we do. And that's where I'd like to start, first of all. So do me a favor. We're going to look at just a couple of passages of Scripture. John Piper said this about the whole blessing thing. He said, my thesis is that in Scripture, when God blesses men, they are helped and strengthened and made better off than they were before in some way. They are helped and strengthened and made better off than they were before in some way. Go to Genesis 1 for just a minute. I want you to see how this term blessing starts. Now, in Scripture, we have this term or a couple of variations on the term that we translate as bless or blessed or to be blessed or receive a blessing. We have about 520-some words. Little variation, is this word really the one we're looking at or not? But about 520-some words in the Bible that refer to this idea of God's blessing. About 400 of those occur in the Old Testament, about 115 or 120, depending on how you parse the words in the New Testament, but all related to this idea of God blesses. God blesses. But what does it mean? Well, what do we really know and understand by the fact that God blesses? Well, I want us to start by looking at one of the first places it occurs. And one of the first places it occurs is over here in the creation account, when it talks about God creating the living creatures, the living things. Now, you know, we know how the creation story begins, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and it was good. And we've all heard how at the end of each day, God said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and that's true. But what's interesting is, you know, after he's created the sun, moon, and stars, and after he's separated the heavens and the dry land and all of that, you come down into verse 20, and it says, and God said, let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply in the south. And he goes on and talks about the beasts of the field according to their kind and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then it says in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the heavens and over every livestock and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and every living thing that moves on the ground. It's interesting that the first two times when it talks about God's blessing, it begins with the expansion of the living creatures. God says to the living creatures, he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And he says to man, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. These are the blessings I am giving you as creatures that I have created, and particularly for man as the one created in my image. And so you might start to think, well, okay, we're off to a good start here. It means that blessings are children. And in fact, Scripture does say later that children are a blessing from the Lord. They're one of the things that he gives us that is good for us, that is healthy for us. That, I mean, obviously it expands and sustains the race. But it's not just about having children that is the blessing. In fact, you see that when you come over to chapter 2 of Genesis, and we see this brought up again. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, made it separate, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done. And of course, we know that when God presents his commandments to his children, to his family, to his nation, one of the things he says is, remember that special day, that blessed day, that Sabbath day, and keep it different from all the others. And I suddenly realize that as human beings, we are required to produce. I made the joke, but it was actually to some degree true. You know, I'm very thankful this week that I have been able to actually maintain my sustenance. I've been able to feed myself. I or Waffle House or, you know, somebody along the way have been able to feed myself. I have to either go out and work for the money that allows me to buy the food that I eat, or I have to go out and make the food, you know, and cook it myself. And, you know, if I was really still back in the days in the farm when I was growing up, it means go out and plant the food and grow the food and harvest the food and, you know, all that goes with it. But we have to produce food to maintain our lives. And we have to produce shelter, and we have to produce clothing, and we have to produce and produce and produce just to make life possible, to get through life. It's called work. And we all do it. And by the way, we all did it before the fall. That's one of the things that we sometimes forget. God said work after the fall would be a lot harder. Now, in the sweat of our brow and with thistles infesting the ground and all of that, it was going to be a whole lot more difficult after sin entered the world. But the idea that we were to be productive and work and labor and produce these things, that was all from the beginning. But God said, as you're going through your life, as you're working through your week, I want to give you a blessing. And he called it a day off. He called it a day of rest. And that day that was given when you didn't have to feel the burden and you didn't have to work and you didn't have to produce, that day when you could rest and be restored, be refreshed, be renewed, whatever reword you want to put on it, that day when you could once again come into that relationship with God in worship and in his holiness. He said, this is a blessing. This is something given for your good, something to encourage you, something to strengthen you, something to provide a positive encouragement in your life. That's a blessing. And when we think about that, things that are good in our life, things that are encouraging, things that strengthen us, things that make us better, that's the blessings that we have from God. The trick is, do we recognize them? I'm gray-haired. I'm old now. I have to admit that. Don't like to some days. I'm not really old yet, but I'm old enough. And been around a while. Long enough that I remember a song, which when I was a kid was actually old when I was a kid and just learning it, but it's that song, Count Your Blessings. And, you know, some of you go, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I think that one of the things we forget to do is to really actually stop and count our blessings. In fact, maybe that's one of the things that the day of rest was for. One of the things Sunday was for was to stop and get out of the rat race and out of the run and out of the pressure and to go, wow, whew, what a week we've had. And look at the blessings that God has brought this week. And let's stop for a moment and give thanks to God and praise him. Let's worship him for the blessings he has brought into our life. Because there are many. And I want to encourage you that you should count your blessings, whether you do it in a regular prayer time or a devotional time, or maybe you're a journaler and you write them down and you go back and look at them sometimes. Have you stopped and made a count of your blessings? I asked you at the beginning, what was the best part of your week? Was it a blessing? And was it a blessing from God? Did you Did you realize that it was a blessing from God? Or did you somehow think that, oh, that bonus was the result of all my hard work? But who gave you the opportunity? Who gave you the brains? And who gave you the skills? And who gave you the opportunity and time? And who put you in the place where you could even pursue that, whatever it was that you did that brought that bonus into your life? Like God. And I think it is important as Christians that we seek the blessing of God and we recognize the blessing of God and we start to look around us and say, where has God blessed me this week? Where has God blessed me this week? And then praise Him. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for that blessing. Because here's the thing I want us to grasp. All our blessings come from God. And in fact, the thing that I really want us to guess is that they come from God and that God blesses as he chooses, as he directs, and he blesses in unexpected ways. In fact, what God does is he does it different than we do, because we would bless all of the worthy people. We would bless all of the hardworking people. We would bless all of the committed people. We would bless all the people who earn the blessing. And then God tends to do kind of just the opposite. God tends to bless the broken people. And aren't we glad he does? God tends to bless the helpless people. And aren't we glad he does? God tends to bless the hurting people. And aren't we glad he does? Because we are all broken and helpless and hurting at some time in our lives, if not at all times in our lives. And I realize that as I begin to look into Scripture and see those blessings. I'd like to talk a little bit about the life of Jacob in this regard. We could spend a lot of time talking about the blessings of God. I would just point out that in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 2, when God says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, he also says, and you will be a blessing to all people. And in you all the families or all the peoples, all the ethne of the earth will be blessed. When God chose Abraham, it wasn't because Abraham was so smart or so powerful or so rich or so capable. In fact, we see other places in Scripture where it tells us it was because the people of Israel were the least of all that God singled them out and chose them and made him his own, so that through them, the least, the broken, his power, his glory, his presence might be seen. And that's what he does when he picks Abraham at the beginning. He takes Abraham there out of Ur of the Chaldees and away from his family, and he says, I will bless you, Abraham. Do you trust me? And then we've heard how the blessing came. You know, there was the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down through. And yet again, in every one of those cases, God was blessing the unexpected. Ishmael was the firstborn to Abraham. And in the tradition and the history of that time, the blessing would have come to Ishmael. But God said, no, it's going to come to Isaac, the son of promise. The son who Abraham and Sarah weren't even sure they were ever going to have, and Sarah laughed about the idea because she was so old and it was impossible, and God brought about a miracle to bring Isaac into existence and then said to Abraham, but now I want you to sacrifice him. And, you know, what? This is our great blessing, and you're asking me to give it up? But Abraham trusted that God, you know, Hebrews tells us, would even bring Isaac back from the dead because Abraham trusted God's promises. He trusted God's blessing. So we've got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob is the interesting one. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and look back a little further in Genesis. When you come to Genesis, I had to make sure I hear it. There we go. Just about to find it. Genesis 27. For some reason, I had Genesis 26 in my head. When you come to Genesis 27, you see the story of the blessing coming to Jacob. But I need to give you a little background on the story because I think most of us know it. Jacob wasn't the older of the two brothers. And they were twins, yes, but Esau had come out first. And so in the history and tradition of that particular age, the firstborn always received the majority blessing, and every other child after that, well, they would receive a blessing or an inheritance. It was less. And the firstborn had the responsibility to carry on the family tradition, the family history, the family business, whatever you want to say. And so you have these two brothers who grow up, and it's interesting that as they do, they grow up in kind of a conflict, because Esau was the outdoorsman, he was the sportsman, he was the hunter, and he was the daddy's boy. And it says that Isaac loved Jacob. Well, I mean, loved Esau. But Jacob was kind of the homeboy. He was the mommy's boy. It says Rebecca loved Jacob, and he stayed around the house, and he cooked, and he gardened, and he did those things. Okay. Well, you can already see that that's going to be a bit of a dysfunctional environment, because you've got the two brothers, and they're obviously vying for attention, and you got mom on one side and dad on the other, and yeah, it becomes a real mess. When you look at the two, you got to say, it's interesting because for the most part, Esau did what he was supposed to do. He went out and he pleased his father and he took care of the hunting and he brought the food in and he was that guy who took care of the family. See, if anybody's going to get the patriarchal blessing and be the head of the family and the provider, obviously Esau has earned it. But Jacob was a conniver. In fact, early on, he had had this thing with his brother where his brother had come in from a long day out hunting and was exhausted and weary. And what had Jacob been doing? He'd been cooking stew all day. And Esau came in, you all know the story, and he said, hey, give me some of the stew. And Jacob says, well, what's in it for me? And Esau says, well, what do you want? He goes, I want your birthright. I want the blessing. And in a foolish moment of impulse and probably hunger, and I don't know if he even really meant it, you know, but he said, fine, I'll sell you my birthright for the stew, but give me the stew because I'm dying of hunger right now. And he ate the stew. Well, whether anybody else remembered that or not, Jacob remembered that. And when Isaac was old and the time came for the blessing, and that's what we see here in 27, and if you read through there, you'll see now when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said, my son, behold, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now take your weapons and your quiver and your bow and go out into the field and hunt game for me and prepare it, the delicious food, such that I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat it, that my soul may bless you before I die. He said, you and I are going to have a good time together, son. So go out and do what you do so well and bring me that wonderful steak dinner that you know, that venison dinner that you're going to go out and get for me. And then when we're done, you and I together, I'm going to pass the formal blessing onto you. And you're going to be the one who becomes the leader of our clan, and you're going to head up the household, and you're going to have the resources. You're going to take my place. I will bless you. I'll give you the good things. I'll give you what you need to succeed. I'm going to bless you. But what did Jacob do? Rebecca heard the story. She heard her husband's plans, and she goes, and you know, yeah, we know the story. She, you know, makes Jacob all hairy because he wasn't, and his brother was, and you know, Isaac couldn't see, and Rebecca and Jacob cook up the food that everybody loves, and Jacob brings it in, and Isaac passes the blessing on to Jacob. Then Esau comes in and says, here, Dad, I've got it all ready. He goes, oh, but I just passed the blessing on. It's too late. I've given it. It's all done. You say, yep, that's how the story went. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. Go with me over to chapter 32 for just a minute. Chapter 32. See, I kind of always had this in my mind that, yep, Jacob stole the blessing. He went in there and he played the part. He acted like his brother. He brought the food, and when Dad blessed him, he pretended to be Esau. And so, but he said, "Hey, but the blessing's still mine." You know, the words were spoken, the deed was done. I'm the inheritor of the blessing. Maybe not. You say, why do I say that? Because, well, did Jacob become the leader of the family? Did Jacob actually establish him? In fact, no. Actually, what happened was Esau said, "I'm going to kill you." I mean, literally, Esau said, "I'm going to kill you." He was so angry with his brother, he threatened to kill his brother, and it creates a rift, and Jacob runs away. Jacob flees. So he never really got the blessing. He didn't get all the goods and he didn't, you know, receive all the inheritance, and he didn't get to be the head of the family, and he didn't get to direct the activities, and he didn't provide. In fact, he has to leave mom, he has to leave the family, he has to run away with his family. They're hiding someplace, and the next thing you know, Esau and his 400 men and all the, you know, groups of them, they're marching out to get him, and there's like this conflict coming. And Jacob is actually afraid. And that's where we, you know, come in verse 32. You know, Jacob is afraid of Esau and is afraid of this confrontation that's coming as Esau is marching out in Jacob's mind to get him. And when you come to verse 21, it says, So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp, and that same night he arose and took his two wives and his female servants and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. They took them and set them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. He basically takes his family and he hides them on the other side of a river where they'll be hard to get at so Esau can't come and harm his family. And then Jacob settles down and is left alone. And it says, a man was wrestling with him until the break of day. Now, that's one of those things in Scripture where you just would like to go, stop, cut, wait a minute. God, I need more information. You've been really detailed about this whole thing that's happening between the two brothers, and we've got the, you know, camps aligned against each other, and Jacob is hiding his people on the other side of the river, and now he's here alone, and Esau is coming with his 400 men, and, you know, and then you just go, and, what an interesting word, and, a man wrestled with him all night long. A man wrestled with him until the break of day. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled. And then he said, let me go, for the day is broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Somehow Jacob is setting himself up because he thinks he's going to fight his brother, but that's not what happened. This man appears. At first, we're not quite sure what's going on, and they start wrestling. I don't know what provoked it. I'm not given any information about how it started. I don't know who threw or grabbed first. All I know is that something happened, and they were wrestling, and they wrestled all night long. And finally, seeing that he did not prevail, that's an interesting comment too, the man who Jacob's wrestling with, it says, touched his hip, and it was blown out of socket. It was dislocated, it was hurt, it was injured, and in fact, it's going to be a permanent injury. I'll just jump ahead and tell you that for the rest of his life, Jacob's going to limp. That's what it says. The rest of his life, Jacob's going to limp. But Jacob doesn't quit, dislocated hip and all. He keeps wrestling, and what is it he wants from the guy? He wants to be blessed. Now, why is that important? Well, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. The house of Israel. Jacob is called Israel. Why? Oh, it's one of those things that we kind of have to wrestle with too. But the El part, we know what that is. That's God. The Israel part, well, okay, it's... It means he strove with God, he wrestled with God, he conflicted with God. Somehow, he's given the name the one who wrestled God, the one who fought God. What was he fighting God for? He was fighting God for the blessing. What is your name? You will not be called Jacob, you will be called Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? A lot could go into that, and I'm not going to say I've got the exact answer here, but you were blessed in the name of. You received the family blessing of. You were Isaac's child, and you received Isaac's blessing, and his became yours, and all went with it. And Jacob's saying, I want your blessing, who you are. And this man said, you know, why are you asking my name? And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." And the sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. And therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip in the sinew and the thigh. God left Jacob with a broken hip. Why do I tell you that story in light of this question about blessings? It's because I think we have to remember that all the blessings come from God and God alone. That's where I want to start. See, I think I had this story wrong for a long time. I think that I'm now thinking that maybe even as commentators, we've kind of gotten this story wrong. I thought that when Isaac blessed Jacob, that was the blessing. That's what counted. That's when all the good stuff started happening, right? No, it actually wasn't. When does Jacob actually emerge? When do his 12 sons start to live out their lives and all the things unfold that happen? When does it happen that Joseph gets packed up and off to Egypt and everything, and you know, it comes and comes and comes, and the 12 tribes of Israel begin to receive their blessing? Why, at the very end of Jacob's life, he finally gets to pass his blessing on to all of his children. You see that in chapter 49 of Genesis, you know, when the blessings come. But when did it all start to unfold? Here. Here is when Jacob quit running. Here is when Jacob and Esau reconciled. You know, right after this is when Jacob and Esau reconciled. This is when Jacob began to emerge as the patriarch and the head of the family and do all those things that the blessing entailed. Did it happen when he stole it from Isaac? No, it happened when he got it from God. And I suddenly realized that what Jacob was wrestling God for, and did he know it was God? Someplace along the line he knew it was God, because he said, I have striven with God, I have seen God face to face, and I lived, which I shouldn't have done. Jacob knew exactly what had happened. And when he had wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and striven and striven and striven all night long, and is that metaphor, is it real? I don't know. I'm willing to accept what Scripture tells me. Somehow God wanted it to be physical and real in Jacob's life. He wanted Jacob never to forget it. So he made Jacob work for it. He made Jacob fight for it literally, wrestle for it, struggle for it. And then finally, when it looked like maybe, okay, Jacob, go ahead, I'll give up. Jacob said, no, I will not quit until you bless me, God. I'm not going to leave without it. And God said, all right. Your name is not deceiver anymore. Your name is the one who strove with God and prevailed. And Jacob prevailed, and the blessing started. And I realized, you know what? God always blesses broken people. But he doesn't just bless broken people for no reason. He blesses broken people who know their brokenness and come to him and seek his blessing. Look at this. And as we go through, you know, okay, what happens next? Jacob has his 12 sons, and you think, okay, let's talk about the 12 sons. Well, Reuben was the oldest. He gets the blessing. No, that's not how it's going to work. Oh, Joseph is the most famous. Joseph, you know, who lived faithfully and went to Egypt and became the vice regent of Egypt and saved the world from the famine and came back and was kind to his brothers and poured it all out. That's where the blessing is going to go, right? No. In fact, what's really interesting in that story is that when Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Jacob to be blessed, Joseph says here, the older one is Ephraim, the younger one is Manasseh, and he puts them out in such a way that Jacob's hands will fall on them, right hand on the older one for the principal blessing, left hand on the younger one for the lesser blessing. And what does Jacob do? He crosses his hands, and he blesses the younger one first. And Joseph's like, no, you can't do that, you can't do that. I've always wondered, was Jacob just like, you know, I was the younger one, and I'm going to give the younger one what I always wanted. I don't know what was happening there, but Joseph tried to correct him, and Jacob said no. And you think, okay, so here it is again. The blessing's going to go to Manasseh, right? No. Look at 49 if you want to turn back there. You see all the blessings that are written out there that Jacob gave to his children. And, you know, he's got them for all of them. He's got them for Reuben, and he's got them for Simeon and Levi, and But it's when you come to Judah. Judah, your brothers shall praise you, and you shall be on the neck of your enemies, and your father's sons shall bow down before you. Remember how upset they got when Joseph had that dream of them all bowing down? But now as the blessing comes out, Jacob says, your brothers will bow before you, Judah, for Judah is the lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as a lioness, who dares to rouse him? And the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. And it goes on and talks about the fact that he will be binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. And he has washed his garments in wine and his vestiture in the blood of grapes. And you know, the Hebrew scholars were pretty sharp. They picked up right away that those were the blessings of the Messiah. And so the Messiah came to be known as the Lion of Judah. And it was the Messiah who was given the prophecy and therefore sought the fulfillment of the scepter never leaving his hand. And it was the prophecy that he would come in riding on a colt, on a donkey, not on a charging horse, humble. And it is the prophecy that his garments would be washed in blood. And people began to realize that in this, Jacob was passing on, but it wasn't Jacob, it was God. God was showing that he was choosing Judah, and that the blessing would come through Judah. And you see, what we begin to see here is that the blessing always begins with God. The blessing always begins with God. The blessing always begins with God. And so my challenge for us today is this. We all want the blessing. We all seek the blessing. We all want to share the blessing. We all love the blessing. But where do we go to get the blessing? And how hard do we strive to show God that we are committed to the blessing? I realize that sometimes I get in the habit of just thinking, I'm a child of God. Come on, God, bless me, you know. I look at that striving with God, and I take it that I think what God wanted to know was, Jacob, are you serious about me? Are you serious about who I am and the blessing that I give you? And by that time in Jacob's life, I think he probably was. I think as parents, we all know that when our kids call us and they have a need, we're there for them. We want to be. We love them. But if we're honest, you know, come on, will you call me sometime when it's not because you need the Bank of Daddy open? I mean, you know. And then that call comes. I remember when both my children, and it happened at different times, both my children, that they called us, hi, Mom, hi, Dad, yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. Excuse me, who is this again? No, we just wanted to say thank you. We love you so much. Thank you for all you did for us, you know, when we were growing up. Thank you for the way you cared for us. And man, how you helped us with this or helped us with that. And, you know, I was just talking to my roommate. Or I was just talking to my friend. And you know, we just want to say thank you. Oh, wow. It's like it was worth it. It really did pay off. So, and if you're not there, let me just tell you, you know, 18 to 28, those are probably the lost years. But somewhere along there, sometime, they will actually wake up and go, oh, Mom and Dad, yeah, really, we love you. Yeah, it's cool. And you'll get that phone call, or you'll get that email or that note or that text or whatever, and you're going to go, oh, parenting, it really was worth it all. God wants that. He doesn't want us just to sit there and say, well, hey, I'm God's child, pass it down, God. And maybe sometimes he decides not to bless until he sees whether we're serious. Maybe even makes us come in and wrestle a little for it. Are you serious, son? Come on. Really? Yeah, show me. Call me on Father's Day, whatever it is, you know. Build back the relationship. I go back to Genesis. I go back to that giving us a day to be free from our work, a day to rest and recover, a day to be brought back into relationship with God. You know, he wanted us. The blessings were for the living. The blessings were for the good and strength and well-being of those of us who were created in his image. The blessing is that we will be in love with God and receive it from him. And here's the great news. When we go to God as broken people and we seek his blessing, he will pour it out on us. It starts when we say, I'm a broken sinner and I need a Savior. And if you've never done that, then just let me tell you, today's the day and now is the time. And you don't have to come down and talk to a preacher, and you don't have to sign a card, and you don't have to attend a class. All you have to do is say, I get it. I'm broken. I'm a scoundrel. I'm a Jacob. I'm a conniver. I'm a schemer. But I know that I won't ever really get the blessing that way. I need a Savior. I need a Jesus. And you accept Jesus as your Savior. And you can do it right now, right where you're sitting. You don't have to do anything else than just open your heart and believe. I hope you'll do that. And for the rest of us, we have to realize that God is waiting for us to come. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to wrestle with Him a little. He wants us to know that it's important. He wants us to know that we are looking to Him for the blessing. And don't be surprised if the blessing isn't exactly what you thought it was. He gave Jacob a lame hip. Why? Because He wanted Jacob to remember. He wanted Jacob to remember who the blessing was from, and He wanted to make Jacob dependent on Him. You know, Jacob wasn't going to go out and fight his brother Esau with that broken hip. Wasn't going to happen. But he didn't have to, because God had already prepared the way and softened Esau's heart and restored the brothers and brought the blessing. Over there in Matthew, when Jesus talked about the blessing in the Sermon on the Mount, sometimes I'm thinking, well, I'm not sure these are the blessings I want. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirsty for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. I'm not sure I want that blessing. But see, God comes to bless the broken. God comes to bless the hurting. God doesn't bless us because we're worthy. God doesn't bless us because we earned it. He blesses us because we love Him and because we are willing to receive Him. Last thing I want to say just before we're done is this. If you realize you've been blessed and you begin to know that the blessing came from God, think of what it is to share that with someone else. You know, we heard those blessings earlier. That person's citizenship, I can go earn mine, but they can't share it with me. I wasn't the recipient of that kidney, and I didn't get all. It was encouraging to hear how they had had a good week and all the great things that happened to them, and it's just uplifting to know that people are joyful and happy. But imagine if they said, and we can bless you too, the very same blessings we can pass on to you. We have that privilege as the children of God. As God has blessed us, we can share that blessing with others, beginning with Jesus Christ and the salvation that He offers, and then we can share the blessing of the truth of the Word and the blessing of the power of the Spirit. We just need to start telling people. You say, well, I don't know how to share. Just tell them what good God did for you this week. And see if they won't respond, just the way you did, hearing the good of those people at the beginning of the service. When people start telling you good things in their life, you know, it's like, oh, that's really cool. And then if they say, and you can have it too. Wow, how amazing is that? See, we're all broken people. That's the point. God picked Abraham because he was broken. And God picked Isaac because he was second. And God picked Jacob because he was a scoundrel. And God blessed them all. And God blessed David, and God blessed Paul, and God blessed Peter, and God blessed his even own brother James. You know, Jesus' brother James. Imagine all the conflicts they had growing up. God loves to bless the broken people. And if you're here today and you're broken, God loves to bless you. It may not look exactly like the blessings we want, because He's going to drive us back into a relationship to Him. He's going to give us the strength we need to carry out His mission for today. He's going to let us be blessed so we can bless others. And by the way, isn't that when we really show the blessing? Because if I bless my son and my daughter, you're going to say, well, absolutely, they're your kids. You're going to pour your blessing on them. You love them. And even if I bless a good friend or a good co-worker, you're going to say, well, that's because they're kind to you, and so you're kind back to them. But what a difference it makes when, as Christ said just a little later in that same Sermon on the Mount, love your enemy and be good to the one who uses you despitefully. What happens when you bless them? Well, the whole world takes notice, because that's a miracle, and that's from God. Are we people who are seeking God's blessing, or just our own? And are we people who count those blessings and recognize them every day as they come into our lives and say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God? Do we use the blessings of God to strengthen our relationship with Him? And do we share? Do we proclaim, tell, let others know how blessed we are, how joyful we are? And do we let them know that the same blessings God has given us are there for them if they will believe? The blessings of God. I hope you rejoice in them. I hope you are encouraged by them. And I hope you share them this week as His people. Father, thank you so much for this time we've had together and for our chance to just think for a little bit about the blessing. Thank you for it, Jacob, and the amazing example of a broken scoundrel who you loved and who you blessed. And Lord, let us be not quite so stubborn as Jacob, and let us perhaps not need quite so much persuasion as Jacob to receive the blessings from you. And finally, Father, let us share these blessings with others that they might know and believe and rejoice and be with you as we will be for all eternity. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.